Hallo liebe Freunde zum Aston Martin Heritage Podcast. Anlässlich des 90. Jubiläums von Aston Martin Heritage in Saalfeld, Österreich.
That is magnificent. What have you just said?
You want to in English or in German?
English, in English.
Okay, welcome dear friends to the Aston Martin Heritage Podcast with the issue of the 90-year anniversary of Aston Martin Heritage in Saalfeld, Österreich.
That is the perfect introduction for the podcast. Thank you very much.
Sure, thank you very much.
Let's have your name behind that. What's your name again?
I'm Andreas from Germany. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andreas. And here's the podcast in English.
This is the Aston Martin Heritage Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another AMHT podcast. I'm Gary Taylor. This podcast was recorded from the AMOC concours held in the Austrian Alps in late September. The AMHT were there with the Ulster, and with it being one of the earliest cars there, it was extremely well received. The location and the hotel were amazing, and unbelievably, the hotel had its own car wash, which was essential for the concours entrants who had driven a long way there. The podcast kicks off chatting to those cleaning the cars on the Friday, and then on the Saturday, concours day itself, speaking to some of the non-UK AMOC owners. We also chat to some of the concours judges to find out what it's really like to enter a car and what they do look for. Finally, on the Saturday evening, Dr. Betts addresses the gathering in the hotel, and we managed to get some extracts of the speech. Not the best sound quality, sadly, as there was a lot of echoing, but after some fiddling with the podcast knobs and switches, it came out more than adequate. Anyway, here it is.
Growing the passion, sharing the stories. The Aston Martin Heritage Podcast.
I didn't think it looked too bad.
Here I am, yes, sir, gentlemen. Always appears to be at a show or a festival at the AMHT at, and you are?
Charles Poulter, how are you?
I'm good, Charles. Good to see you again. We all seem to bump into each other, don't we?
We do, yes. Yeah.
Destiny.
You've always got that microphone in your hand.
I know. Now, what have we got here?
This is a Rapide AMR. And it really, to me, is it's the end of an era car. It's a 2019, and it's the absolute end of the era, normally aspirated V12 Aston Martins. Stunning car, very underrated. Only 187 were built.
Is that all?
Only 47 in the UK, and only two in this colour combination. So pretty rare.
I just saw around the corner a... I'm not being dismissive, a standard Rapide, and that looked lovely, actually. But the AMR version just went up to a Gas Mark 11, didn't it?
Yeah, it just takes the notch up. It's, everything about this is just, possibly 5-10% better, quicker, faster, lighter. And it just makes a stunning car to do a trip like we've done in the past few days. With the probably the worst weather I've ever driven in. But,
I think a lot of people... I don't know what you're on about. I haven't seen anything, but everyone's complaining about the weather.
I know. We've had it literally rain since the day we left, and yesterday was biblical. Driving on the Autobahns, it was probably some of the most frightening driving conditions I've ever been in.
Oh,
and luckily, thank you to Aston Martin Stuttgart, who fixed our windscreen wipers because...
did they fail?
They started playing out, and we wouldn't have been able to get down here if they hadn't fixed it. And they were super.
You found them on the sat nav, and
found them on the sat nav. In fact, my wife just said, "Look, there's a dealer 20 minutes from here, and it's on the outskirts of Stuttgart." So we went to Porsche Central, and they fixed us.
Oh, perfect!
Yeah, so really good.
Hats off to them. So you're in the concourse tomorrow?
Drive for the last 3 days. I'm probably regretting, but it's cleaned up quite well.
Cleaned up quite well. Now, I've seen you've been chatting around, talking to various people, but you have staff cleaning your car, don't you? I do have staff.
I have my wife helping me.
Was your wife as well, is it?
Helping.
helping you, okay. Let me just walk over to wife, staff. Does wife, staff have a name?
Alison.
Hello, Alison. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I've seen you beaving away. Do you enjoy doing this?
No, but if we're going to enter, you're going to do it properly.
You've got to go in and do it properly, aren't you?
Got the kit?
Oh, here we are. Well, we can't see it on the podcast, but I mean, we've got little...
Little sponges, little things for crevices. It's like a beauty therapy shop.
It is, isn't it? Is this what you use on Charles on a Friday night?
Yeah.
About my crevices, please.
Charles has beautiful, clean crevices. Okay. That's another podcast, isn't it?
It is.
How much detail are you going into?
I'm going into it quite a lot.
You are. If you say you're going to go into it, you're going to go.
I'm going to do it properly.
Is it going to be a tantrum if you don't get a badge?
I will be upset if somebody finds something dirty.
I think it's after 3 days trapped in the car, we're just glad to be outside in the sunshine.
It's a beautiful day, isn't it?
Yes, lovely.
Is this the first time you entered the concourse?
No, I've stupidly done it before. I won Elite with my Vantage. So one Gaiden Class, one Elite, and then one John Wyatt Trophy. And then I've won with my Gaiden Class with my DBS. And I entered a Signet at the...
so you've recently got a Signet, haven't you?
And came third by 1.5 points off first. So, you know, getting there.
Getting there.
Thing I said I'd never do again.
No, we just need to up your game a bit, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, good luck for tomorrow.
Thank you.
We've got a chunk reverse in there, so I think it might be appropriate time for the beep beeps to... we stop now. Right, okay, great. Thank you. Good luck for tomorrow. Thanks, catch you over the weekend.
Thank you.
And you're slacking, so you need to crack on.
I need to do the engine bitty thing in there.
Do the engine bitty bit.
Engine bitty bit. Yeah.
Don't be looking at that. Thanks very much. Bye.
Cheers. Thanks, Gary.
There's a queue for the car wash here at the hotel. Everyone's getting ready now from the tour, and I'm up against the most beautiful Aston Martin V8, Newport Pagnell Saloon, I think they call it, don't they? And a manual gearbox as well, left-hand drive. Who am I with? What's your name?
Vere Jan Umgehoven.
Hello.
Hi.
So where have you come from?
We drove from the Netherlands 2 days ago, spent... a night in the neighborhood of Munich, and then yesterday we drove through Bavaria, Tyrol, and Salzburger Land to Saalfelden. And today I think most of us were on the Großglockner tour.
That's quite some kilometers, isn't it? Do you have any idea how many you've done?
If I look at it, it's about 1600 by now.
That's not too bad. Has the car behaved itself?
Surprisingly well.
Surprisingly well. How's the driver been? Okay.
It had been standing idle for about eight years before I bought it last year. So we've been bringing it back to life slowly but surely.
This is
the first real outing, longer outing, if you want.
It's a perfect outing for it to be on, is it? Have you always wanted one of these? Have you?
Yes, indeed, I have. Indeed.
Yeah. Have you had Astons beforehand?
A number.
Have. All right. Whichever. But this is beautiful, isn't it? Have you always wanted one of these?
Yep. I've always wanted one of these, and specifically an Oscar India version, and preferably...
It's a lovely interior, isn't it? What's the colour of it? It's an unusual colour.
It's called Old English Pewter.
It is beautiful, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, well, I'll let you crack on. You don't lose your space in the car wash. And are you in the concourse tomorrow?
I will be in the concourse tomorrow. At least the car will be, not me.
You both look fine.
Thank you.
Good luck for tomorrow.
Thank you.
Bye. Well, as I said earlier, there's a lot of activity around down the car wash area. I've never seen so many Aston Martins around the car wash area. And I'm getting ready for tomorrow. And I'm up against a rather unusual colour, V8 Vantage. What's your name, first of all?
My name's Lars.
Lars. Hello, Lars. Thanks for joining us. What is the colour of this?
Well, I actually don't know the exact colour. I have always been looking for what the Jaguar is called, the racing green.
Yeah.
But this is obviously not the same. But
I think it's darker. I think it's like a...
Yeah, it's much darker. It looks almost black when the sun doesn't shine on it.
It's a beautiful green, isn't it?
It is. Thank you. I've actually been looking for it for many, many years. And then suddenly it was there and just right south of Copenhagen where I live. So it was sort of almost calling out for me to buy it. So it's the right colour for me.
Right colour. I mean, it's a beautiful car. What year is the car?
2006.
2006, so quite an early one.
Yes.
Yeah. Manual gearbox, unusual.
Yes, which it also should have.
It must have. Yeah. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
Okay, so how far have you come today?
From Copenhagen, so it's about 1,200 kilometres.
Okay, that's a reasonable journey.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Okay, and you're in the concourse tomorrow, or are you just cleaning the car?
Cleaning the car, I think I'm in the concourse tomorrow, but I actually can't remember if I signed up way back in March when I signed it.
Just turn up.
Yeah.
Turn up, I'll have a word, and you'll be fine. Well... And I see you've got your assistant doing some cleaning as well.
Yes, from the long trip with bottles and, you know, stuff. It's going to be cleaned inside as well. Hopefully the vacuum over there works.
All works. Yeah, it's all good. This car wash area has been going at it all day. You know.
I think it's probably the first time that this car wash area have seen, I don't know, what's the line right now? Six Astons in line.
There's two in there.
Two inside
and two
being dried. So.
I'm going to have to take a photograph, actually.
Yeah.
Well, good luck for tomorrow.
Thank
you. I hope you enjoy the evening.
I hope so as well.
Are you here throughout the next 2 days?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we're driving home on Sunday.
Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And there's a rather delicious rapide here. And the gentleman next to me is, well, give me your name, gentleman.
Mark Rolfe.
Hello, Mark. We've met before, I think, haven't we?
We have once or twice. I'm also known as the Area 15 rep.
That's it. That's it. I thought it was. I couldn't quite remember. This is a lovely example. How long have you earned this rapide?
Just over a year and a bit now. So 11 months? No, 13 months now. Yeah.
And you said to me, just as I approached you earlier, you said, oh, you're getting ready for tomorrow. And you say, no, because tomorrow is the concours. But you're not, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm actually judging in the concours. So I'm not entering, but I am judging.
It's probably a bit awkward to enter your own car, isn't it?
Just a bit. Be a bit cheeky, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Although I would be forced to judge a different class, I'm afraid.
So what, have you had any Astons before the Rapide?
Yes, I also still own that one. It's a 2000 DB7, the Vantage.
Yeah.
And I've had that now for 16 years now.
Yeah.
And this one, as I said, I've owned just over a year. I'm not selling either. I'm keeping them forever. That's my plan.
I do like the Rapides. They're an underrated car. They are very practical. They handle lovely because they've got a longer wheelbase, haven't they?
Yeah, I've spoken to several people at the Aston Martin factory who worked on these cars or drove them when they were produced. And they said of all the VH platform cars, this is the one that they would have because of the handling.
Yeah.
And they said it's absolutely sublime.
So where did you come over?
We left on the 18th, went to see some friends in northwest Germany for a few days. Then we travelled to a city called Jena, stayed there for a couple of nights. And then we came to Salzburg, stayed there for a couple of nights. And today we've come from Salzburg to here.
Okay, excellent. Just talk about the concours tomorrow. You say you're a judge.
Yes, I am.
So what does judging involve? What are you looking for or not looking for?
Well, mainly the two things. One is making sure, irrespective of the age and the patina of the car, that it is as clean as it could possibly be. And we've got slightly different rules for this one because of people travelling from so far. It's not like the Concours d'Etat we have in the UK. So this one's a bit different.
But well, this hotel has a cleaning bay, a proper cleaning bay.
Absolutely.
And I've been surprised how busy it is. So it might be prepping for tomorrow anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in the great scheme of things, if people present their cars properly and, you know, they show it as best as they can. That's all you can ask people to do, especially after a long journey here.
And you're looking for originality?
Yes, absolutely. Originality is key. And, you know, if people have additional added extras that they've put on, that's never seen as a good thing, generally speaking. But maybe this time it might be different. We'll have to wait and see.
Some people have a fear of concours, and I must admit I do. You get too obsessed with like cleaning the inside of of the exhaust pipe. But is there any comfort you can give to people? Say, no, come along, it's not as bad as that.
I can actually, because my DB7 has won the concours a few times and had a few seconds and thirds. And I used it as a reason to make sure I knew the car really well and to find any problems before they happened. So I would give the car a really good deep clean twice a year for the spring and autumn concours. And it really does help you to get to know your car. And also, when the judges are looking at it, we're not horrible, fierce people. We will give you tips and hints so that when next time you enter, those mistakes or errors or whatever you want to call it are not made again. And that's how I learnt and went from, you know, coming fourth, fifth, sixth to third, second and first places just by improving the car slightly. And also, it helps with the longevity of the car. The cleaner a car is, you've got no rubbish in there eating away at it, have you?
No, that's very true. Right, I'm going to let you crack on. I'm going to bring my car over later and I'll park it next to you, so if you wouldn't mind.
I can say some rude words about that, but I won't for the podcast.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. Thank you. See you soon. Now, I'm just going to walk over to this gentleman. I don't know if he's going to talk to me. He's not engaging. Yes, he is. He's engaging. He's smiling at me. Hello, what's your name?
Mike Bradley Russell.
Mike Bradley Russell, hello. This is a beautiful DB6 Volante, is that right?
Vantage Volante, yeah.
Yeah. Right, so how long have you had this car?
6 years, I think, now.
Yeah.
I bought it as a non-runner.
A non-runner?
2 years to put it back together, which this man here did, James Willey.
Yeah.
When he worked for Nicholas Mee. And then it took 2 years almost to the day. And I've been driving it everywhere since. It gets used a lot.
That is fantastic. They need to be used, don't they?
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, looking at it, it looks like it's not used, but then you've got to... is this James, you say?
This is
it?
James,
yeah. You've got him on board all the time cleaning the car, have you? he's part of the
he's
car.
He's part of the deal now. That's why he came with me here. Yes.
Those wire wheels, I had a DB6 of wire wheels. They are Well, I can say this on a podcast. They are a sod.
Yeah, they certainly are. The story behind this is I was 15 when I saw one drive down Oxford Circus, Oxford Street, with my mother, and it took me until I was 68 to buy one. It took that long to find one,
Yeah.
So it's a keeper.
Well, it's got to be, isn't it? Is this your, you going in the concourse?
It's in the concourse, yeah.
Is this your first one?
No, I've won all year. This has been a good year for me.
Why has it?
But this is the last one.
Is it? Okay.
I'll have had enough. It's such a big job to keep it clean and using it at the same time.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll let you crack on. Well, you're just cleaning the windows. I think James has got the hard, is he now under the car now?
Absolutely. Yes. He knows I can't get down, though. I can't get up again.
All right. All right, well, I'm going to have a quick word of James. I mean, what's it? James is on the floor now, and he's got his high, what, you've got your cleaner behind the wheels?
Yes, the inside is something they look at. So
these judges are sad people, aren't they?
They're very particular,
okay.
Yeah, but I've learned from the last couple we've done that you lose most of your points on cleanliness. The car's very original as it is, and that's not enough. It's got to be absolutely spotless as well. So that's what we're focusing on now, to try and go above the other competitors a little bit. It's just those last few points on cleanliness.
So are you enjoying working? You're going to have to say you are enjoying this, but I think it does look like it's great fun, doesn't it?
I don't really enjoy the cleaning, but but it's part of the process, isn't it? But it's now doing the mileage in the car and proving it can do it after I've every nut and bolt on this. Has been my hand tightening them, so apart from the paint, I've done the full build on it, so it's quite nice to drive it this far and also such a scenic location.
It's a beautiful roads and scenic, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's a complete dream. As soon as you get into Austria, it's just there's not a bad road.
As soon as you come over the border, it changes, doesn't it?
Yeah, immediately.
It's very bizarre.
Yeah, immediately changes, and it's just perfect driving.
Right. Well, I don't want to hold you up, otherwise you're going to get in trouble. And good luck for tomorrow. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
With me is Tom Wesley, Chair of AMOC. Hello, Tom.
Good morning.
It's a lovely day here, isn't it?
We've been blessed with the weather, haven't we? Which was quite unexpected after yesterday's downpour.
Yes.
There we go. It's lovely.
So, Tom, why is the AMOC here? Why are we holding the concourse and the DB6 celebration here?
We are trying to be well-behaved and properly look after all of our members, especially the international people that are very, very loyal to the club in all sorts of ways, and we want to properly be not so UK-centric in much that we do. So this is our first endeavour, really, to put on a really excellent display. It's properly, I think there's about 18 countries represented here.
So I heard last night someone's come from Australia, was it Japan?
Yeah, I think that's true, yeah. One person come from Colorado as well, I believe.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely awesome. And we've got a fantastic selection of every type of Aston Martin, really, from the ones, that the Trust has bought as an example of the very earliest Ulster-style car, right the way through to the very latest models, which the guys from the Munich dealership have kindly bought, and everything in between. But the sort of passion and camaraderie is fantastic. So we're really chuffed with the way people have responded.
I spoke to someone earlier. He said he bought the car because he bought the car, and that was many, many years ago. But he did not realise the social and the friends you can build up by owning an Aston Martin. That's where the owners club comes in, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think this point about Aston Martin as a brand is it's always been exclusive. And so, as you rightly say, it almost becomes like a social club in the end. People tend to know each other because there's not that many of us, and they know the different cars and who's owned them before. And I was just looking at this lovely V8 Vantage here, find out that Sir Elton John was the first owner.
Oh, perfect.
I didn't realise. Oh, wow, that's amazing. And here we are competing against that car, so it's wonderful.
So what's your rest of the day, Tom? Are you going around drinking champagne as a chairman does, and Cohibas and that sort of thing?
That would be nice if I had that chance. I've been busy cleaning the car. I should be busy helping with the judging this afternoon, and then I shall have the delight of everyone's company later this evening for our meal,
gala dinner.
Yeah.
Well, well done to the AMOC, Tom, and this is the first, I guess it's going to be a first of a few international events, isn't it?
Well, that's our hope, actually, is that this is looking so successful. It's wonderful, and that's exactly our ambition. The people come and enjoy it, and we can do this more often in different parts of the world, particularly as well in North America, because they do their own thing out there, but I think we can have more integration of many of the members, because people can travel these days, and they love it. It's great,
Perfect. All right, Tom, let you crack on cleaning your car.
Nope, thank you very much. Thank you, Gary.
Here at the Austrian Concours, part of the displays is they're also celebrating 60 years of the DB6, and I'm next to a rather lovely DB6 Mark II Vantage.
Yeah. That's right.
That's it. You're Kurt from the USA.
I'm Kurt. I live in Colorado. I keep the car in England. Picked it up 3 days ago. We drove from Leamington Spa all the way to Saalfelden. So it took us 2 days. And now we're here in Saalfelden, and we're going to do the post tour to Bardia d'Avaux and then south of France.
That sounds a wonderful, wonderful tour, doesn't it? How many days in total is this?
Well, it's I think altogether it'll be about 6 days, 3,000 miles, then going back to England.
Okay. How long have you had the car?
7 years ago, yeah.
Right. Have you always wanted a DB6?
Well, I mean, it was just, you know, I wanted a DB6, and then this car came up at auction, and then Stephen Archer kind of helped me buying it.
Are you still talking to him?
I'm not sure. We had a little funny story is, because it had Weber carburetors, and then 3 years ago, they were leaking, and they had an engine fire.
Oh, no.
And then we had to... the front here, the front part, the nose kind of melted, and we had to take the engine out and repaint the front and all of the inside of the engine. So the Webers are a bit, you know, tricky.
Yes, yes.
And so now we're driving with SU carbs. It's much easier.
That must have been terrifying. Were you driving it at the time?
Yeah. No, I wasn't. Fortunately, we were stationary.
Yeah.
But what happened was... the fire, obviously, was petrol leaking. We put that out with a fire extinguisher. And then, but then a second fire started because one of the fluid pipes started leaking. And I didn't have enough juice in the fire extinguisher. So the second fire started. We had to call the fire brigade to put it out.
Oh, good grief. Well, fortunately, you're okay. And now the car is restored back to where it was.
Yeah, exactly. So now it's perfect, running very well. So
yeah,
very pleased with it.
And you've got a full fire extinguisher, I guess, as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Hopefully you never get around to using it. But do you have much chance to drive it when you come over?
I know Tom Wood, and he organises events. So earlier this year, we drove through to Wales for 4 days without a drop of rain. Beautiful.
We've had a cracking summer this year in the UK.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Any plans for the car in 26?
26? No plans yet.
I'm sure something will happen. Tom Wood will be on your...
I'm sure.
He'll be ringing you up and saying, right, we've got this planned.
Right. Yeah, we'll figure something out next year. So
great. Well, thanks for bringing the car.
Very good.
And it's been lovely talking to you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay, will do. You too. Bye.
John Godley. Gary Taylor, Podcast Supremo, how are you?
Mr. Taylor.
It is switched on this time.
Good afternoon, sir. Of all the places we meet in the Alps.
It's destiny. I feel it is destiny.
It must be.
Great. Well, I could say what brings you here. I think it's statement of bleeding obvious, isn't it?
What brings me here is a flight to Klagenfurt, about 150 miles south of here. Yesterday, I drove up to Munich and then back down to a lake to see a fantastic DB1 owned by... a German member, the best DB1 I have ever seen, and I've come back here, and when I can smell Astons, or I get a tingling in my fingers, and I know there are some Astons around, so I drove towards Salzburg, found a hotel last night, and here we are today.
And you must be delighted, because the sun is out, loads of Astons here. This is your favourite bit, isn't it?
Well, Gary, it's absolutely fantastic, because there is... a shooting brake DB5 there. Last time I saw that was in Aston Engineering. There's the prototype DB4 next to it. There's the V8 DB5 next to that. And slightly to the right is a DB6 shooting brake. Now, I've seen that on films, in records, in press ads, in auctions, but I've never seen it in the metal. So it's worth coming here to see that and this fantastic special bodied Aston.
Yes, I saw that. What is that?
Well, I'm going to... make a mistake and say it's Alemanno or Touring, but it's one of those two, or Bertone. But I think I will ask the owner, and please cut this bit out because I've probably guessed wrong.
No, that's fine. I mean, it's great. I can't remember the last time I saw any of these shooting brakes. They are beautiful cars, aren't they?
Absolutely gorgeous. And they are the proper Harold Radford ones. I mean, the FLM paddle craft ones Both of those are excellent, but I've never seen, well, I've only seen two DB6 shooting brakes before. One was came from Germany, but this one I think was sold 2 or 3 years ago. I think it may have even been in the States at some time. So basically, Gary, this is just a little Aladdin's cave and a cosmopolitan mixture of cars from all over Europe, and it's just wonderful to see.
I was just going to walk her down to the general Aston Martin car park, because I'm standing here in the concourse area. So I was going to look, and I think the Aston Martin car park has got some lovely specimens that you've just come from now.
Yeah, there's an OHMS DBS, one of the modern DBS in the colour of the Majesty's Secret Service. Yeah. That's come from England, and next to it is one of the RAF Red Arrow spec V8s.
All right, yes.
So that's worth having a wander around to have a look at those as well.
Okay.
But what's great about it, Gary, is there's cars here from obviously Austria, because that's where we are, from Germany, and also from the Netherlands, and a lot have come and made the trip from the UK. I had the easy route of flying in, but those who drove, hats off to them, because I think the weather wasn't particularly great.
Oh, it was quite shocking, apparently, on the Friday. I've been here for a couple of days. One thing I have noticed, John, when I was here yesterday, I don't think I've ever seen so many Rapids all together.
No.
Perhaps it's a European thing.
Well, it's such a great car for long distance travel, and in it's well, as you know, in the UK, the second-hand values of them make them very practical cars to have, even as day cars. So it's great to see the Rapide, because I always think that they are not necessarily the forgotten Aston, but like David Brown Rapides, they don't get the cachet of the two-door cars.
They're lovely, and I just saw so many yesterday. I thought, whoa, fantastic, so excited. So where's your when's your Aston nose? When's the next sniff taking you?
Well, hopefully, in fact, I've seen the photographs. There's a book coming out on V8s by a French gentleman called Etienne Dricot.
Right.
He photographed my car, I think it was about 18 months ago now, but he did a fantastic couple of books on the DB4, 5s and 6s.
Oh, and Etienne's here, actually.
Oh, is he? Oh, fantastic. I shall see him.
I saw him over there. That's
brilliant.
Yeah.
And his V8 books are coming out, I believe, in November or December, and I'm grateful for him to select my car. 591 VEV hasn't been seen for a while, but it's in the book, so I'm very thankful to Etienne.
Yeah. Even more provenance for a magnificent car.
Well, nice of you to say, Gary.
And a magnificent owner. you never let me down.
Well, even going back 35 years, Gary, you were a magnificent new sheet editor. That shows how
no,
old
I wasn't
we are.
An editor. I was quite...
Sorry, you had the annual magazine, didn't
the
you?
The annual magazine, yeah.
And I've still got every copy. So next time I see you, Gary, I'll get you to sign them before I pass away.
Hopefully not for a long time yet. Nice to see you, John.
Cheers, Gary. See you later. Bye-bye.
Tom Wood, hello.
Hello, Gary.
You seem surprised.
No,
that's your name, isn't it?
It is my name, yes.
I doubt Stonewind of Silence. Okay, right. You're one of the judges here, aren't you?
I am, yes. I'm doing the Gaydon Era 3, which are the modern Astons.
Gaydon Era 3, yeah. I mean, because there's so many Gaydon cars now, and you tend to be dumped into second century, which can be a bit confusing. So Gaydon 3. So how many cars have you got to look at?
Just three, thankfully.
That's all right.
Two judges, so... just me and the chap who's helping me is new to the game. He's never done it before, so I'll be showing him the ropes.
So I actually do some preparation for these podcasts. It may surprise some people. And I was looking... Don't laugh, Tom.
No,
you know, so I looked up last night, and obviously these cars, they have like 100 points. And I always seem to think they started from the bottom and get awarded points. But each car has... starts of 100 points, and then they get knocked down, don't
they? Correct.
That's right. Yeah. Now, I think the 100 points, if I remember correctly, it's split into a number of categories.
Yep.
What are those categories, Tom?
There are four categories. There's 25 points in each of those four. And it starts with interior, then onto body, and then engine, and then chassis and wheels. And we tend to do it in that order, because obviously the clean bits are the interior.
Yeah.
Last thing you want to do is be going into someone's car, having been crawling around on the floor looking at the underside. And there's 25 points, so 5 points are for original specification and the 20 points for condition and cleanliness. So if we, let's say, for the original specification on the chassis and wheels, we find that they put different wheels on, we'll deduct some points for that.
But what if they are Aston Martin wheels?
They should be as they left the factory.
That's what we're looking for, the originality, isn't it?
It is difficult to tell because there's so many specifications and people will change the colour.
Yeah.
Obviously, if a wheel is curbed, sometimes they would have been silver and they get them painted black. If they've been diamond cut, sometimes they change that. So it varies.
Let's just have a look at this car here. So how do you know what is original? I mean, it's a tricky one because there's so many. I think you can probably sense or smell something that's not quite right.
I think with a car, we're looking at the DBS Superleggera at the moment, which has got a predominantly cream interior, but the backs of the seats are quite a nice red, and the dashboard is red, steering wheel's red. I would say, there's undoubtedly all that is original. You're not going to change that on a modern car like this. Change in specification tend to be with the older cars, so the DB range from the 5-6s, that sort of range where they've been retrimmed and stuff like that.
Okay, so you probably find the more modern cars, they get awarded higher points.
Yeah. Well, they'll get 5 points for their specification. There's no way that you can start taking points off. When it comes, if the class winner enters the following year, it has to go into the elite class, and at that point they have to provide a build sheet, a specification from the factory, which has to be provided prior to the actual event so that the judges can view it and make sure that the car is still in original specification.
Do the owners feel like their car's been criticised?
some of them do.
Do they hang over you while you're going around?
Well, we try and obviously we need the owner present to open the bonnet and to answer questions, but what we don't want them to do is to be looking over our shoulder and criticising everything. Oh, I've written down there's a piece of speck of dirt or whatever in there. If you find a CD, CD's a bit outdated now, but let's say you find a cable for the sat nav or something like that in it, that shouldn't be in there. So if you find something like that, they can't argue with that, to be perfectly honest.
Okay.
But the main thing is, and that's sort of the things you find in a modern car. Obviously, it's whether it's clean, it's whether it's how it's presented, making sure that, the car that we're standing behind is a Volante. They've actually taken the screen out, I see. There's a flip-up screen that goes for the wind protector.
Yes.
And to be honest, you could leave it in because I'm sure it was probably supplied with that, but it looks nicer without it. So obviously the owner's taken that out for the actual purpose of the Concours. The other things we're looking for are non-standard badges on the car. If people have a badge on the windscreen, I don't know, from the from Goodwood or something like that, an event
So you're very much looking at as it came out the factory.
Yeah, definitely. So, as I said, we start with the interior. We then look at the sort of the bodywork to make sure it's blemish-free. Strictly speaking, it shouldn't be wrapped. A lot of people put clear wrap on it. Clearly, it didn't come out of the factory like that. And this car in particular has got a wrap on it. You can see it here.
Oh, has it?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it. I wouldn't. Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
You've got to know what you're looking for. So this will automatically get a point deducted for wrap. And the main thing is that if all three cars are wrapped, then they all get 1 point deducted.
So they're all level.
Yeah, they're all level anyway. Some cars will only have the front panels wrapped or half a bonnet wrap or something like that. So you can award half points. If we look at the car next to us, which is a coupe Superleggera, that actually hasn't got a wrap on it, but it has got what we call a helicopter tape, which actually protects the rear haunches.
No, that's a standard fit, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a standard fit, so that wouldn't get deducted. But if we walk round the front...
Now, those what do you call it, helicopter?
Well, I call it helicopter tape. I don't know why it's called that. But
I think it's because of your background, isn't it?
Military background.
Military background. But they can look a bit skanky after a period of time, can't they?
Well, they pick up the polish on the polish line.
Yeah.
But you can, if you're careful, you can actually keep them nice and clean.
Yeah.
But then, to be honest, they're not that difficult to replace. They're there for a reason.
Yes.
It protects the haunches, but they do get damaged.
Right.
So you can actually have them taken off and reapplied. But this car doesn't look to me... Oh, it does. It does have a wrap on the front, I think.
Was it?
It's very thin, though. It's difficult to tell. There is a line there, on there.
Okay.
But...
They're very clever these days, aren't they?
Yeah, there is a wrap on it.
Okay.
Yeah. So this has got a wrap on the front.
Oh, you can see it there. Yes.
So, strictly speaking, a car that's fully wrapped would probably give it 1 point off, and a car that's half wrapped would give it half a point. The main thing is to be consistent with all the cars you're judging. So if you find a defect on one car, you're not deducting 1 point on that car, first car, and half point on the second car, or 2 points. And this is what we get sometimes from people who've entered their car in consecutive years. They'll say, well, last time I got 5 points deducted total, but you've deducted 10 points this year. I said, well, we see different things. There's been a year since you did it anyway, since you were last in the Concours. Right. You may have picked up more road damage. There may be a chip in the windscreen. See, this car here does have a sticker on it. Well, we've been advised in the judges' briefing today to not criticise vignettes, because obviously you need a vignette.
And you can't take them off, can you? Because they're
And also there's a tracker on, not a tracker, there's a toll bleeper on this one as well. But strictly speaking, you'll see there's something below that.
It looks like a silver, an iPhone.
Yeah, holder, that maybe? Shouldn't be there.
Okay.
But the one above the wing, the rear view mirror, is the toll reader. So that, we've been advised that those, we won't deduct marks from that.
Now you're going to have to help me, because I might have ruined someone's day. Somebody came up to me earlier and said, can I put an owner's club badge on a windscreen? Will I get deducted?
You must have an owner's club badge on the car somewhere. It can either be on the grill.
I said yes.
It can either be on the grill or on a removable one from the windscreen.
If it's an Aston Martin Heritage Trust badge, do they gain a point?
No. They shouldn't really have one in.
You're not my favourite person, are you? No. You and I will have a conversation later about this. It's quite quite terrifying, because, you know, I've dismissed these in the past as being a polishing contest, which I suppose to some extent it is. But I think, well, I saw someone yesterday cleaning a Rapide and had the cotton buds out. And yeah. I think, I haven't got the patience for that. I can't do that. So, yeah. And you're going to criticise my car. Having said that, someone said to me, you get to learn about your car more.
Yes, you do.
And take it as not a criticism, but as you're starting to know about your car, what's original, what you shouldn't do, and that sort of thing. Because when you and I have bought our car, an everyday car or an Aston Martin or whatever, when you first clean it, despite having done a recce on it before you bought it, you find things, don't you?
Yeah.
So what you're effectively doing, you're finding things that you may not have known of.
Yeah. It's a way of improving the car, because obviously if you enter your car for the first time in a Concours and you come, let's say, fifth out of seven cars, then you're given a whole list of the things that were found. If you want to enter it next year, the first start point is to go through the list of the things that were found the previous Concours and try and improve on those.
Yeah.
There comes to a point where you've got to decide if the car needs a respray, well, are you prepared to do that? Or if the front end needs a respray? So it depends to a certain extent on how much money you're prepared to spend. And cars do deteriorate if they're used. You know, components do go rusty.
Is that it for this year, Tom? Do you think Concours?
Yes, yep. Autumn Concours is the final one of the season.
Yeah.
So next year, I think, is up in Alnwick. Northumberland.
Northumberland, all right.
In June.
Good. Well, have fun there, and have fun totting up the results from these.
Thank you, Gary.
And I hope the owners are encouraged by that. I say I'm quite encouraged. I always came into it quite negatively, but I'm going to say, "Oh, hang on! I now know about the car, and it's a journey, learning experience. Yeah. You get to love the car more, maybe."
Yeah, definitely.
Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you, Gary. Cheers. Pleasure.
Growing the passion, sharing the stories, the Aston Martin Heritage Podcast.
The AMHT have brought over our Ulster, the 1934 Ulster, 91 years old, and a fan of the podcast has come over. So your name is?
Martina Spans.
Hello, Martina. Thank you for coming over. Thank you for recognising the podcast and being an enthusiastic listener. What do you reckon to the Ulster? You're sitting in it.
First of all, thanks so much for giving me the opportunity to sit in it, because I do realise this is a very prized piece of history, of Aston Martin history.
Do not even scratch it. I
mean, no,
I'm looking at your fingernails. They're okay.
All good.
All right.
Yeah, no, it's really, really special to also doing this weekend to, of course, see so many Astons in one place, but also to sort of experience all these different Astons from all different generations. And, you know, you can all see they're all sort of built for the driving spirit, really.
They have. And this car, I mean, it doesn't hang around. I mean, it would hold 80 mile an hour, which I think in kilometres is 160, so probably 130, something like that. 130
kilometres. Yeah, something like that.
Hold that all day. I think whether the driver could hold it all day is another thing.
Well, I mean, you know, good earplugs, I think, will do the job. Yeah.
Do you like the older vehicles?
I do. So myself, I have a 1974 V8. I've had that for nearly 20 years now.
Oh, fantastic. 1974 V8, a Vantage or standard?
No,
V8 Saloon, I think they called it in the UK. Okay, story behind that, colour, spec, what is it?
So it's blue, I forgot the exact name of the blue, but you know, just like that Vantage over there.
And
like I said, I've had it for nearly 20 years. Well, there's a funny story in that. So when the DB9 first came out in 2004, I was, I absolutely fell in love with the brand Aston Martin. So you start looking, like, which one can I afford? And of course, all the advice was never buy the first one you can afford, but of course, that's what I did, right?
We've all done that. It's hard to think the DB9 is 20 years old or more, isn't it?
It is, yeah, right? Yeah, it's already become a classic. Yes. Yeah. There you go. I bought it and then first had to restore it a little bit. Drove it for, drove it for many years. And now since the last 5 or 6 years, it's in restoration again. So unfortunately, I wasn't able to bring it out this weekend.
Okay, right. Any adventures in the car? Have you been anywhere?
All over Europe, to the UK a couple of times, visiting some of the events over there. Obviously, when my husband and I got married, it was our wedding car. It's really part of our life.
Perfect. So I think there'll always be an Aston Martin in your garage at some point, do you think?
Absolutely. As long as I can maintain and, you know, keep it there, that there will always be an Aston, maybe even more than one.
It gets under your skin. It tends to happen that way. Build up a collection.
Absolutely, yeah.
Perfect. All right, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you too.
A regular car that appears at the Aston Martin Owners Club and Aston Martin Heritage Trust events is a rather delightful DB6. Is it a DB6 Vantage, Jeff?
No, it's just the ordinary engine with the three SUs, which keep in tune beautifully.
Keep in tune. You've had it for quite a few years now, haven't you?
26 years, yes. We got him in 1999, and he's been with us as a regular companion on lots of our mock events.
Yeah, you're always there whenever I pop up somewhere.
Well, yeah, we like...
That's a good thing. It's a compliment.
Yes. When we got the car, we had no idea about the social life...
Yeah.
Which went with it.
Yeah.
So the local area team meetings, concours, international events like this. It was a complete surprise.
A pleasant surprise. What was your motivation in the first place to buy the car?
Well, when my blood was turning to petrol in the late 1960s, the DB6 was the British supercar.
Right.
And that's what I always wanted.
Yeah.
And my sort of desire to actually own one lay slightly dormant until I went on a tour of Newport Pagnell, organised by a member of my fencing club. That's my sport. And
right.
So a dozen fencers went around Newport Pagnell. They came back with my desire to own an Aston Martin reignited.
Yes.
And my dear wife was very supportive.
That's a help, isn't it?
Well, yes. And so off we went to Chilton Aston, where Sky was up for sale.
Yeah.
And he's been in our ownership ever since.
Obviously, this year is the 60 years of the DB6, isn't it?
That's right.
So yes. We're celebrating that here. We've also got a concourse here. Have you been at any other 60-year-old events?
Yes, we at the Spring Concours at Burley. We were part of the display there in front of the house, and that was really good. It's great to see all these DB6s come out.
They don't come out often, do they?
No, when we first got the car, there were lots of 4, 5s and 6s that would come out to local area events.
Yeah.
And now, very few. So it's really great to see them all out. And, well, it's such lovely weather here today.
It is lovely, isn't it?
Perfect.
I get the impression the car's not going anywhere. It's going to be part of the family for a long time still, isn't it?
Well, we've got 7 grandchildren and only 2 Aston Martins, so I'm not quite sure how they're going to sort that out.
That's a problem I leave with you to sort out.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jeff.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm in the concourse area and I've met a gentleman. What's your name?
Roger Lingmuth.
Roger, where have you come from, Roger?
I'm originally from Sweden, but I live in Switzerland since 25 years.
So what's brought you here today? I joined Aston Martin's again.
Yeah. I joined Aston Martin owners at the Amok Club last year. I had Aston's before, but for some reason I never joined it back then.
Yeah.
But then, I wanted to, experience the full thing with Concours, with excursions, the great ownership and the likes here.
Well, as they say, you buy the car because you like the car, then you end up, it becomes a social conduit, doesn't it?
Exactly, it does. I was member in Sweden, I was member in the Corvette Club.
Yeah.
And the same thing there, it was a great community, it's like a family.
So you said you had some Aston Martin, so yes. We'll just dive into those. So what one have you got at the moment?
Now I have a 2018 Vanquish S Volante.
Very nice too. And that's in the Aston Martin car park, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
You're not brave enough to put it in the concourse.
No. I want to enjoy the day a little bit.
You had some other Aston Martins.
Correct. So I had I started with a Vantage V8. Yep. What's a Vantage S? 2012 year model. That was kind of the start into, and then I got completely addictive and infected.
What's it like being an Aston owner in Switzerland?
It's great.
Hear that the motoring law is, all around the world it's quite heavy these days, but it's even more so. Is that the case?
Yeah, I think it's coming more and more, even in Switzerland. But there is a big community, with old classic cars, historic cars. So let's see. Usually it takes a bit longer before all these regulations reach Switzerland. So I hope it stays like this. Yeah.
Well, it's great to have you here.
Thanks
for joining the AMOC. Don't forget to look at the Aston Martin Heritage Trust Ulster.
We are on the way, yes.
Your film, girlfriend, wife?
Girlfriend.
Girlfriend. Yes. Got that right, okay. She admired the car earlier, so actually you're filming us, aren't you?
I am.
What's your favorite car here, have you seen?
The old timer one.
The old timers, they're the best.
We're talking about the 34, huh?
Yeah, the Ulster 1934.
Super nice, that one.
Yeah, we brought it all the way from England.
Uh-huh.
And she's going back tomorrow.
And so good condition.
And she's used a lot, she runs, so it's good.
Oh, that's great.
Okay, well, if you go over and schmooze over to the people over there, they might let you sit in it. All right.
Thank you.
Have a nice day, Gary. Bye. Ciao.
Next to me are two judges looking quite formidable in their white coats. I think they're prepping themselves to interrogate these cars. We've got two people. Let's let them introduce themselves.
Tim Cottingham, Registrar, Aston Martin Heritage Trust.
Indeed you are, Tim. And you are?
Kees Huizenveld, owner of Noble House, which is a Dutch Aston Martin Heritage dealer. We are judging 55 cars. We are roughly with 20 judges. We are on the class on the right-hand side. Which
class is that?
V8.
The V8, yep. 70s, 80s. And we have to judge seven cars today, which is nice because the sun is shining.
Yes, it is.
It's not raining.
Yeah.
Everybody's out. Everybody's happy. And we are just talking about nice original cars. A lot of these cars are worked on, which is logical because they're 40 years old. But when you find something fully original or mostly original, that's very, very rare nowadays. So we're going to take a look at one of the cars, which is not on the concourse, but is an original car, which is just nice to see.
So that is here, is it?
That's here, yeah. It's behind the flags. That's a German V8, original two-tone. And we're going to take a look at it.
Yeah, it's an American car. It's come over from the US, and it's silver sand Madagascar brown with a brown leather interior, piped form. That's very exciting. It's my car of the day. I'm not saying it's the most valuable, but it's the most surprising, most interesting.
You sometimes find out that the cars in the car park, not entered, they flag up. That's of interest. When's the judging going to start?
After lunch.
So when you're fed and relaxed.
Yeah, it's probably the wrong time, but it'll be fine. We'll deal with it properly.
We'll have an enjoyable session later on. Enjoy your lunch when it comes.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
So the concourse judging is happening now, and I'm up against a
a beautiful N400 V8 Vantage, and the owner's next to me. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, what's your name?
My name's Koen van Driel.
Koen van, and your car's just been judged, hasn't it, for the interior?
For the interior, yes.
What's it like having your car judged?
It's exciting. Yeah, it's the first, no, it's the second time, but it's exciting. I like it.
They say you get to learn more about the car, actually, when somebody else comes along and inspects it. Yeah. Is that the case?
That's the case, yeah. And they point out little things you haven't noticed or you don't know of your, how shall I put it? Well, you do not notice them in normal use, but here you see the little things you have to keep in order. Huh?
Okay, because I noticed that they had the rear hatch open and they pointed out a few things. Can you remember what it was?
Yes, there is a little bit of...
We're just opening the hatch now. Here we go.
There's a little bit of touching
on
the back from the lid somewhere. Right. I don't know where, but it's not supposed to happen.
No, of course.
So I think maybe it needs to be a little bit adjusting. I don't know why this is, but I never noticed it.
That's the thing, isn't it? You don't notice these things.
Yeah, so that's fine to know this.
Yeah. I've been told it helps improve the ownership experience of the car, because now you know about this. I'm going to correct that.
Yeah.
And next time, they can't take a point off.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
How many times have you entered the car over the years?
This is the first time with this car, yes.
Oh, right.
Yes, this is the first time.
But the beautiful thing is, judging like that, you think, well, okay, I'll just improve that and I'll get some chips sorted out. Yeah. Well, good luck with the rest of the judging.
Okay, thank you.
I hope they're kind.
Yeah, I hope so too.
So thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, okay, you're welcome.
We have someone from...
Australia, Sydney.
Australia, Sydney. Fantastic. What's your name?
Greg.
Greg. What brings you over here? Well, obvious question, I suppose.
For this. Just opportunity to be here, part of this, and do the drives, and just fantastic, beautiful weather. Couldn't be better.
I'm going to have to ask you, how does an Australian get here? Have you driven?
No. No.
Some people keep their car on the mainland, don't they, or in Europe or something like that.
We keep a car in UK, and then we drove from UK to here. We arrived on Friday morning. We picked up the car. We got the shuttle, the train.
That's it, yeah.
And then we drove across to Salzburg, 3 nights in Salzburg, and then we came here.
Lovely. What's the Aston Martin scene in Australia like?
It's really, really good. There's a very active club. 2 weeks ago, we had the national meeting, which is held every 2 years, and we had people attend from all over Australia. Yeah. So think about how big Australia is, and people drive their cars to the event, which was in New South Wales, and we had 3 days event not dissimilar to this, and we had fantastic observation runs, we had concours, we had track day, we had a fantastic time, and we do it every 2 years. So next time in 2 years, in May 27, it will be in South Australia.
How long you had your Vantage for?
This one I've had for 2.5 years. I had one in Australia as well.
Yeah.
I've had that one 15 years, I guess.
Well, it's great to see you. Thanks very much for coming all the way over here. And, well, I see you in 2 years' time.
Very good.
With the old stuff.
Look forward to
the trust to be over there. Fantastic. We'll be in touch. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Growing the passion, sharing the stories. The Aston Martin Heritage Podcast.
That I became the CEO and chairman of Aston Martin, the guardian of the grave. And now 25 years later, and 10 years after I finished Aston Martin La Roda, I became a vice president of the club and will assume the presidency in 2026. This year, they got one of the oldest car clubs with a truly global presence is celebrating its 90th year's anniversary. More than 250 Astons of all ages, more than 400 official people from 17 countries, including all Europe, Australia, US, and of course, Japan, which I still own to Europe. This move to celebrate 90th year in Austria, the club demonstrates very in its ambition to be in the future even more developed and open to bring more people together in developed friendship, arrows, and diverse. In the last 25 years, the global supply of Aston Martin has gone up from around 20,000 cars to about 110,000 cars, a multiple of 5 to 6 times. Around 60,000 of these cars are from my care. The club has not grown with the same speed. Set up in the UK, where only 25% or 30% of all cars are sold, it may have only doubled the number of owners from about 4,000 to about 8,000. The target must be 10,000 in a not too far future. The new license agreement with Aston Martin La Ronda should be the benefit of both the Wacken and Aston Martin La Ronda. This cooperation opens the doors to local deals, as demonstrated today by Wolfgang Oswald, the deal in Munich, hopefully also to marketing and PR support from the company when people understand the power of the Aston Martin. We are still at the beginning, but full of hope. For the victim support, it is important that the club not only preserves the history, but also stands for the future. You know, others, history without a future is just history. A history with a future is heritage. If the company does well, it is to the benefit of all the car owners as well. In 2000, the value of a DB6 was around 30,000 euros. Today, it's 300,000. A DB5 in 2000, 70,000 euros. Today, 700,000. We will be exclusive but open to new members. We will work together with the company, the dealers, to make us and the brand even stronger in times which are not that easy for everybody. I will try to support this effort to be attractive for more people to come. The first I have in mind in 2026 is a charity clay shooting competition, where up to 35 teams from all over the world could come together for one enjoyable and exciting midday, develop new friendships, and test their competitiveness. I would invite not only owners, club members, but also dealers to bring their best customers, or Aston Martin La Ronda, or a team of supplier, or a team from the Formula One team. Now, I wish you all a relaxed evening, good talks, good drinks. There are some good wine in Austria. Some talk about the weather, it could have been worse. And finish with a little bell of Vogelmeer Schnaps that Austria is famous for.
Yeah.
God save the king, and God bless Aston Martin.
The Aston Martin Heritage Podcast. Discover more about the story of Aston Martin, the cars, the people, the history, with the Aston Martin Heritage Trust. You're always welcome to visit us at our museum in Oxfordshire, so find out more via amht.org.uk.